The third-class medical. Could it be a thing of the past for recreational pilots? The FAA may relax its rules on electronic devices. And can you imagine luxury in space? This is Aero News for Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for coming aboard. The EAA and the AOPA on Tuesday jointly filed a request for an exemption with the Federal Aviation Administration that, if granted, stands to increase the level of safety and significantly reduce a substantial economic and regulatory burden for pilots who fly recreationally. Currently, FAA regulations require all pilots to hold at least a third-class medical to exercise the privileges of a private or recreational pilot certificate. EAA and AOPA are asking the FAA for an exemption to that rule, which would give pilots who fly recreationally the option of getting a third-class medical or instead participating in a recurrent online education program that will teach them how to self-assess their fitness to fly. The education program will cover aeromedical factors and exceed the training that is presently mandated by the FAA. The requested exemption is built upon 7 years of data collected since the Sport Pilot Driver's License Medical Standard was established. During that time, the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, has not attributed a single accident in that category to medical deficiency. A 2009 AOPA policy survey found that 72% of the member respondents expressed a strong interest in eliminating the third-class medical requirement for pilots flying recreationally. Speaking of the exemption request, AOPA President Craig Fuller said, quote, "Our petition offers substantial economic savings to pilots and the U.S. government. A conservative estimate shows a savings of $241 million for pilots and $11 million to the federal government over 10 years, end quote. You've heard it countless times before. In addition to being sure your tray table is stowed and locked in the upright position, the flight attendant asks that you please turn off and discontinue the use of all electronic devices. The reason for this has always been the fear that interference from your device might cause the plane to veer off course, change altitudes unexpectedly, or, well, crash. Now the FAA is taking a second look at this issue, saying it wants to bring together all of the key stakeholders involved to discuss if a practical method can be devised that would allow the testing of devices such as tablets, e-readers, and music players during critical phases of flight. The Associated Press reports that airlines already have the discretion to test devices, but the sheer number and variety of such consumer electronics makes it far simpler to just issue an outright ban. Kevin Hyatt, COO of Flight Safety Org, said, "Another issue is that devices evolve over time, so while the iPod Nano may be deemed safe, the iPod Touch might not." Boeing engineer Kenny Kirchhoff raised another issue, calling it the additive effect, in which dozens or hundreds of devices which might be in use at the same time could have more of an impact than a single device. The FAA said in a statement that, quote, "No changes will be made until we are certain they will not impact safety and security," end quote. Devices that will definitely not be tested include smartphones and other cell phones. Use of those devices on an aircraft is regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. Experts say the speed of travel on an airliner makes cell phones skip from tower to tower far too rapidly, which can interfere with ground-based communications. SpaceX continues to prepare for its upcoming COTS-2/3 test flight, in which it will attempt to send the Dragon spacecraft to the International Space Station. Recently, SpaceX completed another important milestone, the first NASA crew trial, part of SpaceX's work to build a prototype Dragon crew cabin. For this milestone, SpaceX demonstrated that its new crew cabin design will work well for astronauts in both nominal and off-nominal scenarios, known to us laymen as oops. The engineering prototype includes 7 seats, as well as representations of crew accommodations such as lighting, environmental control and life support systems, displays, cargo racks, and other interior systems. During the day-long test, SpaceX and NASA evaluators, including 4 NASA astronauts, participated in human factors assessments, which covered entering and exiting Dragon under both normal and contingency, dare we say, oops again, cases. The 7 seats can hold an adult up to 6 feet 5 inches tall and 250 pounds. In fact, SpaceX says the Dragon has so much interior volume, an entire 3-person Russian Soyuz capsule descent module could be placed inside Dragon's pressure vessel. Sounds like it's a far cry from the phone booth days of Apollo. Searching for unexploded mines, bombs, or other ordnance was the first order of business as construction got underway at Pipistrel's new facility in Italy. The construction site is located just 15 miles from Pipistrel's headquarters in Slovenia. It was heavily bombed during World War II and thus is subject to a law that requires compulsory demining before work can begin. The new factory is being built to take on production of Pipistrel's Panthera, a modern four-seat business aircraft offering a traditional avgas engine, a hybrid, or an all-electric powertrain. The Panthera is so revolutionary, the company has already received a few dozen confirmed orders with advance payments several months before the plane's public unveiling. While the Panthera still sits on the drawing table, another revolutionary aircraft in its day has experienced two significant milestones recently. The Gulfstream G-150 fleet surpassed 100,000 flight hours, and the 100th G-150 rolled off the initial phase production line, nearly 6.5 years after the aircraft's original entry into service. With 95 aircraft in service, the fleet has flown more than 100,000 flight hours and achieved more than 72,000 landings. In addition, the aircraft is certified in 11 countries and has accomplished 11 city pair speed records, most recently Gander, Canada to Geneva, Switzerland, in 5 hours and 7 minutes. The G-150 has a range of 3,000 nautical miles. Still ahead, could an old photo be the key in the search for Amelia Earhart? We'll find out. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more in this edition of Aero News for Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A recently discovered photograph said to be taken near the remote Pacific atoll of Nicomororo shows what may be a piece of the landing gear of the world's most famous Lockheed Vega, the one flown by Amelia Earhart with navigator Fred Noonan. That photo is launching a new effort to find the missing plane and hopefully to finally learn what happened to America's sweetheart aviatrix who disappeared 75 years ago on the last leg of what would have been an historic around-the-world flight. The search will be privately funded by an historical group, but the Wall Street Journal reports that the State Department has been involved in securing the necessary permissions for the search to take place. In a briefing arranged on short notice Monday evening, government officials said that after intense analysis of the photograph, it was deemed to be worth exploring. The International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, TIGER, is leading the effort. The group has long believed that Earhart and Noonan ditched the Vega near the west coast of what was then called Gardner Island, now the Republic of Kiribati. The shallow coral reefs were searched recently, but now the new search effort will concentrate on deep waters off the atoll. The search is expected to begin in July. The effort comes just as Tiger and others mark the 75th anniversary of Earhart's flight. Airlines for America, A4A, the industry trade organization for the leading U.S. airlines, today called on the U.S. government to reform federal taxes and regulations to enable U.S. airlines to compete globally on a level playing field and to help grow the country's economy. A4A President and CEO Nicholas E. Calio, in a speech to the International Society of Transport Aircraft Trading, ISTAT's annual conference, said, quote, "We can work together in creating a business environment that will allow for future growth and global competitiveness, or our government can ignore the future ramifications of an uncompetitive U.S. airline industry to our medium and small communities and ignore the benefits of the industry to our own economy," end quote. Even though Congress deregulated the industry nearly 35 years ago, the 17 different federal taxes and fees have grown significantly over the same period, with passengers now paying 20% of a typical domestic round-trip ticket to the government. A video is making its way around the internet showing a very young boy in a wheelchair due to a broken leg, receiving additional screening as he gets ready to board a flight in Chicago to Walt Disney World with his family. In the video, the screener talks with the boy, and his father, who is making the video, seems to be cooperating fully with the TSA screener. But the text added to the video says, quote, TSA nabs suspected Al-Qaeda terrorist, end quote. Additional text embedded in the video goes on to describe how outraged the father is that the boy is being screened for explosives. But a report in the Chicago Tribune says the video may not be what it claims. While there are legitimate questions to be raised about TSA screening procedures, the paper reports that several of the perceptions about the video are questionable. For example, the video was reportedly shot at O'Hare International, but a TSA official told the paper the incident actually happened at Midway Airport. Additionally, it occurred in the spring of 2010, about a year and a half before the TSA relaxed its requirements for screening children 12 and under in September of 2011. But true to form, TSA would not say definitively whether the 3-year-old boy would have received additional screening under the less stringent rules for children. The video has now been viewed nearly 100,000 times. Sandy McDonald, former CEO and later chairman of the McDonnell Douglas Corporation, died at his home this past Monday. He was 89 and had been suffering from pancreatic cancer. Under his leadership, the company made missiles, spacecraft, military, and commercial planes, and was the St. Louis region's largest company until purchased by Boeing in 1997. Never one to miss an opportunity for some publicity, actor Ashton Kutcher has become the 500th person to sign a contract for a ride to space with Virgin Galactic, and it netted him a personal phone call from Sir Richard Branson. On the Virgin blog, Branson writes that Kutcher said he is thrilled to be among the first to cross the final frontier and back with the space tourism company. Kutcher, along with the other 499 paying astronauts, will shell out $200,000 for the 5-minute suborbital ride into space. Branson said on the blog that Spaceship Two is being prepared for flight test, perhaps as soon as later this year. Branson said that safety remains the company's number one concern because, quote, I will be on the first commercial flight with my kids, end quote. No date has been discussed for when that first flight might take place. Note to all those who were Kutcher's victims on his Practical Joker show, Punked, here's your chance to get even. That's a wrap for this edition of Aero News. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks again for coming aboard. Now, please discontinue the use of all electronic devices, as you are now cleared for departure.